Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mic On. I'm yours truly, Arthur Jones. I'm trying to stand up pitch for a moment so I can get out of here. Theory. Okay. So, y'all just give me a minute. I'm just going to set this up live and go from there. But, well, while we're on live, today's guest needs no introduction that she is created Maddie's Memory. She also is the co-owner of Wrestling Fans Speak Out. And all the stuff she does for the community, there's no words to describe it because it's just been amazing. So can't complain about that. It's the one, the only, Hazel Jones.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. Just trying to get this switch set up so we can still
talk. Well, it can't be an introduction like that. I think I need you to be walking in front of me into different rooms saying that.
What, that was good?
Oh, that was a good introduction.
Well, that's the truth.
Oh, bless your heart.
Like something you can't make up. You know what I mean?
That is true.
Anyways, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've had birthday cake and good food, and now I'm making a cup of tea. So I am good.
Yeah, I saw your cake.
It's a delicious cake.
What kind is it?
It's like a vanilla sponge cake with delicious buttercream icing.
Oh, okay.
And Maggie says she'll have another piece, so I'm just going to cut her another piece and take it to her. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Jim, would you like another piece of cake? All righty, carry on, dear Archer.
Where did they get the cake from?
Walmart, I believe.
I figure they got it made from what it looks like.
I believe so.
Yeah, that should be awesome. But for your past, let's see, what is it, 22 years being in the U.S.?
It is 21.
Well, 21. How
yeah.
is it? How is it now compared to what it was when you arrived?
In regards to, I would say, the country, things were better when I first came. There have been so many changes, and sadly not a lot of them for the good. Hold on one second.
Okay.
In regards to In regards to relationship wise, it's a lot better because I'm with a delicious chocolate muffin now.
Oh. Yeah, I wonder who that guy is.
I don't know. Hopefully he's listening to this show. But yeah, I mean, I would say for sure that there's been so many different changes over the years that, you know, things were good and kind of up and down. And I just don't like the road it's traveling on right now.
Right.
For many reasons. And we've spoken about that on my show, which is on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time. Quick plug there. But yeah, there's a lot of changes that have gone on that I find, you know, distressing and upsetting, that have also affected our family and our way of life. But, you know, in other ways, there's been so many good things that have happened and positive things. So it's really, like most people, it's very up and down and as to how life takes you.
Right. Just like, what did you think have improved since then?
Are you eating?
Yes.
Yeah, well, don't eat with your mouth full. It sounded like blah, 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 blah. The things that I think have improved is that even though where we live isn't like the best and everything, what's improved is how our outlook towards things have changed. You know, we've been at the lowest that anybody could possibly be at. You know, we were homeless. And, you know, we worked our way up. So it's one of those things now where I don't particularly like the area because of the changes in that respect. But, you know, our home and what we've made it and our life is pretty damn good. Especially when
right.
I was dealing this evening with what was originally what my life was like. So.
Right. I know, like you said, you like to one day just go there to visit, but not to stay in your, where you came from. But, there's a guy, the pros and cons compared to like living from there to here.
The thing that was the weirdest was the complete change in, how do I say it? Basically, where I grew up in a small shipping area. So it was like a fishing port and, you know, it was like the United Nations. You literally had so many different races and creeds of people, you know, around, and everybody knew each other. You know, I literally could do something down when I went out on a Saturday with my friends, and by the time I got home, my parents knew about it because everybody knew each other. You know, and so I went from that small little life of living in a village and, you know, all this lot to coming to a big city. And that's a culture shock in itself. Now add on top of that, the fact that you guys drive on the wrong side of the street for me.
Yeah, we do.
You know, death could have happened several times. Then it was getting used to the money, which I still have issues with. In England, tax is included in the price of everything. So if it says $4.99, it's $4.99. You know, and I still have to get used to over here. And, you know, even after 21 years, I forget that if something is $4.99, I've then got to add tax onto it afterwards.
That would be a good idea. They do something like that here, though.
Yeah. The other issue that I have over here was the major race divide. Because, as I said, where I'm from, we don't have that. Yeah, I moved to Milwaukee and I get told, well, if you go over that bridge on 27th Street, you end up on the north side of town and that's where all the black people live. And on this side is where all the white people live. And on that side of town is where all the Hispanics live. And it is really segregated. It's like something I've, you know, find really hard to get used to. And then the other issue is, you know, I have friends over here who are black who don't like white people, but I'm not included in that because I'm not white. They say I'm English.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really mean is, like, I'm not American white. You know,
right.
So it's that kind of thing that's really hard and difficult to get your mind around when you come from where I am. And there's, you know, at times I still have that small town mentality where, you know, you say hi to people when you walk past them in the street and how you doing and hold doors open and, you know, look at name tags for people's names. And I forget that over here that that's not as common as I'm used to.
Right, that's probably another thing that we should change. But back to your life. So you created a good charity called Maddie's Memory after our son. So
yep.
How's it going?
Maddie's Memory is going pretty damn good. We hit, and I didn't realize it was so much that we had made until I was writing down in my notebook this week the gowns I made, and I, you know, have a running total, and I'm like, holy cow, we hit 7,500, not just burial gowns, but NICU gowns. And it's like, wow, that's just phenomenal, you know? And it's what started out as us just wanting to do something for St. Mary's Hospital after Matthew was born, because as you know, they had nothing. The information was just crap. And if you remember, nobody really knew how to talk to us in the hospital.
Right.
And when they brought in the paperwork for Matthew's funeral, we weren't even given a choice. It was a case of, well, you need to sign this and tell us out of these two where you want your kid to go. And nobody said that we could actually make those arrangements privately. We, you know, there was so much misinformation out there. And so what started out with us just helping St. Mary's, as you know, it was St. Mary's, then it was St. Joe's, and then it was Children's, and then it was West Allis Memorial, then it was Aurora Sinai, and then it went on to mailing out, and then obviously I met Maggie, and then it was All Saints, and then it was the Kenosha Hospitals, and then it just got bigger and bigger, and, you know, we're nearly at 11,000 people following us on Facebook right now, and it's just crazy that, you know, what started out as something that we wanted to do just to help one hospital in memory of our son has turned into something where people will actually say, oh, you're Maddie's Memory. And, you know, I've told you where I've been on the bus, and I was wearing one of my infant loss shirts, and somebody said to me, oh, you lost a baby too? And I said, yes, I did. And they said, yes, so did I. And then they're talking and say, you know, I got a burial gown and this memory packet thing from this Maddie's Memory, and it's like, I'm Maddie's Memory. And so for me, it's weird but comforting at the same time that his name is out there. You know, it's not just our family who know him. It's so many other people. And as you know, we went from just doing infant loss and pregnancy loss to making sure that, and it started out really with Robert's friend Jordan, who was in the hot unit at Children's Hospital when he had leukemia, and sending stuff there, if you remember, the first time. I remember we took the bus, that long route, when Jordan was in hospital, and we took up blankets and teddy bears and visited Jordan. And we went from, you know, there to, you know, now doing stuff a few times a year for NICU departments. Like, I brought over to Maggie's today. Teddy is wrapped in blankets and teddies with pillows, which are going to be donated in her son's honor in October. And, you know, it's just something that I never thought would grow so big. And it makes me happy and sad at the same time, because it's happy because we're able to help, but sad because, God damn it, why do we need the, you know, why is there a need? You know, why are we in 2020 still not knowing why women have miscarriages and stillbirths, and, you know, why is that still, you know, a part of where we're at? And a lot of it is because, you know, it's a female issue, and a lot of women are considered weak for when they lose a child, because we're supposed to be able to carry them, and there's not as much research into it as there are into other issues out there. Like they say, there is there's 1 in 4 women who experience the loss of a child, and that's just the people who have received medical treatment in regards to that. But the research that goes into it, the only way I can describe it is if $1 million is spent on research into breast cancer awareness, okay, which is a good thing, you know, that affects so many people and has killed so many people. I'm not disregarding that, but it's the only way I can get my head around it and explain it. For every $1 million that is spent on breast cancer research, only $1,000 is spent on why there are miscarriages and stillbirths.
Okay.
So it is something that's severely underfunded, and, you know, it's a hard thing to deal with. And, you know, until major changes, and my point is until men stop making those decisions as to where research money from the governments and stuff are going to go, there's not going to be much change.
So you're thinking that that the government should have stepped in and have a say-so about stuff like that?
Well, let me tell you, give you a sense as to why I think that the government needs to be more forthcoming in regards to that, okay? Recently put out was a report that says the government spends, I think it was like $5.6 million is donated to research into erectile dysfunction, government money. And out of government money, only $1 million is put towards female health issues. That's not just pregnancy loss. That's female health issues, period. So that tells you that the government is more concerned about their erections than they are about the women who basically are the ones who are holding them up.
Yeah, I just think that's kind of odd that, like, they're worried about, like, reptile functions and, like, there are stuff out there for that, and they need to focus on other things, like, for your cause and for, you know, women losing babies and stuff.
The problem with child loss and pregnancy loss is that it's a subject that is taboo and that is swept under the rug. Because, you know, when people are running for office, then, you know, a baby's life, the moment of conception or the moment there's a heartbeat. But when a baby is lost through miscarriage or stillbirth, then it's just a fetus and it doesn't have any value. That's what the problem is. And until, you know, the powers that be get their head around the fact that, you know, that child that you're saying is a life from the moment of conception is still a life when the child is lost. You know, it's not going to change. You know, if a woman goes and has an abortion, then it's a baby. You know, then all these powers that be are like, oh, you're killing a child, you're killing a baby, you're killing either your son or your daughter. But when a woman has a miscarriage or has a stillbirth, then it's a fetal demise. It's, well, don't worry because it wasn't a real child. That's what we're up against. And that's why there is so little money put into that research.
So you're thinking that, you know, that they focus on, like, abortion, they get upset with that, but they won't do anything about it when it's a child loss, which is
exactly
which is kind of they got their priorities backwards for that. And also, like, it's a woman's choice if they want to, you know, keep the baby or not. As we spoke earlier, like, there's
right, and I agree. It is a woman's choice, but it's something that I can't do. But I've never been put in that situation where I've had to make that decision. So I'm not going to comment on what every other female in the U.S. is allowed to do with their body and what they choose to do. But it's, you know, to me, it's ridiculous that, you know, more money is spent on making sure men can get their dicks hard than there is on, you know, the loss. Stop laughing. There's a loss of life. Quit laughing.
I can't help it.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It's just like.
I mean, I've already got a solution. A popsicle stick and some tape. Use that. You know, move on.
It's just like sad because I never knew that the government was care about how their penises get hard compared to like a loss of a child.
Well, and that's the sad part, and that's what people, women have been fighting for. I'm actually friends with the woman. Her name is Robin, and she fought, oh my gosh, so hard to make it so that basically back in the 80s when Reagan was president, this woman who I'm friends with, her name's Robin Bash, she actually had two children who were miscarried. And she also, I believe one of them, and I could be stand corrected, I also believe one of her children was stillborn. And she found a support group. Obviously, this was before the internet, but she found a local support group to her for families who had lost children. And they had started, you know, noticing that there wasn't even any recognition of any child. You know, if somebody had a miscarriage, it was, shh, don't speak about the baby, you know. They'll get over it. They can get pregnant. They can have another one. They're young. You know, I mean, everything we've heard, these women heard, and they actually petitioned the government to have hold on 1 second. Multitasking. Okay. They, you know, basically petitioned the government saying, you know, we've got to make this something that's spoken of. And I'm going to get the actual date up because I don't want to, you know, do them. Yeah, I don't want to do them a disservice.
Oh, you meaning by?
By giving you the wrong information.
Oh, just making sure. Gotcha.
Yeah, because she worked so hard on making sure that, you know, was correct and came about and everything, that, you know, to give the wrong information would just be, it would be wrong in myself. And basically, it was in 1988 that Ronald Reagan announced that, you know, they were going to have October as Infant Loss Awareness Month. Around the world, it picked up on having October 15th as Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. So that's a worldwide thing. And as you know, we light a candle at 7 o'clock, regardless of what time zone you're in. So there's literally 24 hours of a wave of light. But she worked so hard along with, you know, a other group of women to make this happen. They petitioned and petitioned and petitioned to get it. And I'll read you what it says. It says, as of October 25th, 1988, President Ronald Reagan proclaimed the month of October 1988 is Pregnant Infant Loss Awareness Month. Pain for Remembrance Day began in 2002. And it was started by Robin Bear, who I'm friends with, Lisa Brown, who I've spoken with, and she is such a phenomenal woman. I can't even begin to tell you about her. And Tammy Novak, she's another one who is just amazing. They petitioned the federal government and actually had it, you know, basically put down, it's not a law, but you know how they are observed, like you've got Martin Luther King Day, that sort of thing. That's now right. Written down in all official documents that October 15th is that day. And it was picked up around the world, you know, slowly but surely.
And sadly, it's one of those things that unless you're actually involved in regards to that, or have experienced that, you're not many people are aware of the details.
Right. And you're just wondering, like, how you and everybody else will, like, try to get more of the messages out there?
Getting the message out there is really hard. I have problems speaking about it face-to-face with people. As you can tell on the phone, I'm chatty as Larry over it. I have no problems. But when I'm face-to-face, I freeze. Thank God I have Maggie. Because Maggie could talk to the Eskimos about snow, and they would start taking more of an interest than they have already. You know, so that's why we work as such a good team, because she's so much more forthcoming, and I kind of get, I don't want to say shy, but I get more reserved, and I catch my feelings too quick. But that's what the main thing to do is, if you see somebody who's holding an event and everything, even if you don't want to go to it, share the event so word gets around. If somebody in your family has lost a child, regardless of whether it's during pregnancy, infancy, all the way through to adulthood, you know, talk to them about that child. Say to them, you know, what was your child's name? Any parent can tell you one of the greatest gifts we hear is when somebody says, you're Matthew's mom. Maggie can tell you it makes her heart leap when someone says you're Jonathan's mom. It's the fact that they remember the name, you know, say that child's name. You know, when they've got the candle lighting events, light a candle, or, you know, comment if you're on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or that lot and say, you know, what's this about if you're not sure? And what has been amazing is that there have been people who, you know, we are friends with from, like, wrestling world. Admittedly, that's not a wonderful place in itself, but there are friends of ours who we've had through the wrestling world who, you know, have come to us because of it. A certain friend of ours who's, I'll only mention him by his nickname because not a lot of people would know who I'm on about, but a certain Raisky, you know who I'm on about.
Mm-hmm.
His sister, her child was stillborn at 24 weeks. He also had another sister whose baby had health issues who died at 6 months old. You know, and he was the one who reached out to me and said, I don't know what to do. What do I tell her? You know, and it's things like that that they help. And just having somebody just say, you know, we remember your child, that's one of the most important things, you know, that you can do. It really is. And it doesn't even have to be on a certain day. You know, if I see something that's, for argument's sake, you know, I found a cup that had a lunar moth on it. And what represents Maggie's son, Jonathan, is a lunar moth. And it was like, oh, hell no, I got to get this. You know, it's one of those things that you're like, yep,
right,
I got to get it. And, you know, Maggie does the same thing when she sees turtles. It's like, oh, Hazel's on a turtle. You know, there's those sort of things. Just little things like that, just, they mean the world. They really do.
Yeah, that's cool. But before we go, what is the future of Hazel Runs Her Mouth?
Oh, the future of my radio show. More of being fabulous, of course. I mean, you can't get more better than that. Much more glitterific. Much more stupidness. As you know, we're a mixture of funny, sad, serious, sassy, sunshine and laughter.
What you growling at?
Is my baby's growling?
Yeah, let's see if she'll growl again.
Okay, which one of my babies is growling? Daisy?
Yep.
Oh, it's because she misses her mommy.
Yeah, she just sniffing the mic, then growl, then sniff it again.
Stupid dog.
Yeah, they'd probably be growling at something else. But, Miss Jones, I appreciate you doing this show today, and thank you for being on.
And I appreciate you having me on your show, Mr. Jones. And I shall speak to you, and well, I'll speak to you later, and I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah, you're probably going to end up speaking to me after the show's over anyway.
Probably. Alrighty, I love you bunches, and bye-bye, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Love you, too. That is Hazel Jones, everyone. Like I said, it's a good, probably for those of you that, you know, probably just kept it on to watch a little bit longer, although we're not on the air now, so I'm just going to leave like a little bit of WrestlingFanSpeakOut.Weebly.com. Check that out. I know I need to update it. I'm going to update it very, very soon, probably tonight or tomorrow. Look for WFSO or Wrestling Fans Speak Out on Facebook. Also, you can look for Real Milwaukee Buck Fans on Facebook with like update news and things like that. Also, check out Maddie's Memory, as she's mentioned on Facebook as well. We're over 11,000 members on there. And you know they need some more, so go ahead and join. Also follow us on Twitch or WFSO World, and also subscribe to our WFSO YouTube channel. We need to look at past videos and upcoming videos that be posted up and stuff as well. We're trying to get to 1,000 people so we can at least do more with the channel. We can do like live stuff, like we can do this show, and we can do like other stuff that we can do live. I'd like to thank like the people that's watching on Twitch. I appreciate that. Thank you for watching. The next time we'll be back on Twitch will be WFSO Aftermath. No, actually, we're going to do the watch-along of the Clash of Champions pay-per-view. So we're going to do a watch-along of that at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. So we're going to do a watch-along. And we're also going to do WFSO Aftermath on that Monday, the following day, just talking about the pay-per-view results and news and all that good stuff. And tomorrow, of course, as we mentioned, Hazel Runs Her Mouth, her show will be on 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. So check that out. Next week, I will be interviewing Skylar Reed. We don't have the official time as when that's going to be yet. I ain't going to know till the day of. So stay tuned on WFSO Radio Network's page to get like more information on that. And as soon as we know like what time we're going to do it, we will let y'all know. And I think that's pretty much it. But until then, you probably get to hear from me tomorrow with being on Hazel's show. So until then, look for us on Blog Talk Radio. Look for our past episodes on there as well. And like I said, the next time we'll be on Twitch, it'll be Sunday. And we'll be on Block Talk tomorrow talking on Hazel's show, just talk about whatever. So until then, y'all have a good night. Have a good week. Love your wrestling and love life.